Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Red Sox on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Gabrielle, founder of Girl at the Game. It's Monday, November 9th. I hope you guys had as good of a weekend as I did. I'm just feeling good. I hope you are too. So today's episode and tomorrow's episode are going to be a special conversation with my pal Javi, host of Locked On Padres. He's one of my favorite people to podcast with, to talk baseball with, to talk West Wing, so many things that we both love. We came together yesterday, which was Sunday, to discuss the first week of the offseason, managerial hirings, the Justin Turner situation, just kind of get into offseason headspace and talk about all these things that have been happening, how we both feel about Cora, how we both feel about Hinch, etc. So that will be today and tomorrow. Now, before I play part one of this conversation with Javi, I just want to talk about something really funny that happened to me on Twitter yesterday. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, following me on Twitter, etc., you know that I am super hard on the Boston Red Sox. I love them, but I have no problem calling them out when they do something wrong, when I don't agree with them, or when they're just blatantly making a bad decision and could be doing better. I pride myself on both loving the Boston Red Sox as an entity, but also being able to be objective and hard on them when I think that they deserve it. And I think most people would agree that over the last year in particular, the Boston Red Sox have made some very frustrating and downright bad decisions, Mookie Betts being one of them, obviously. And if you've also been listening to this podcast or following me for a while, you know that I was super conflicted and even not a proponent of bringing Alex Cora back to the Boston Red Sox. I wish that I could feel differently, but I'm still not really on the side of he should come back. I just think that it's going to make things difficult for the team from a PR perspective, from a fan perspective, and I just have a hard time believing that they're going to be able to turn the page, as they love to say, which isn't to say that I am not hopeful that they can turn the page. I just think that it would be easier with a different manager who came to them with a clean slate. The reason I'm talking about this before I play this conversation with Javi is because I had a very interesting interaction yesterday on Twitter where somebody accused me of being a mouthpiece for the Red Sox front office, being too supportive of the Boston Red Sox simply because I made a joke on Friday that Alex Cora had won the presidential election by getting rehired by the Red Sox. And I thought that was the funniest thing ever because most people's critique of me is that I'm too negative about the Red Sox. And so when I suggested to them that they listen to this podcast to see that I'm actually very much not what they were accusing me of being, which was being basically a simp for the Boston Red Sox, they totally freaked out and started Twitter shouting that they weren't going to listen to my podcast because they don't like me. And how dare I suggest that they listen to the podcast? I was only trying to show them that I agreed with them in the first place, and they got so upset that for like 2 hours last night, I was just getting bombarded with mentions by this totally crazy person saying, how dare I demand they listen to this podcast, which I thought was just so funny and such a typical baseball Twitter situation of judging people and refusing to listen to people when they present you with facts. I mean, I would love to be more positive and supportive of this Red Sox team. I would. I think that most people can agree that it's kind of hard to be supportive of this specific version of the Boston Red Sox right now because they haven't done a lot to endear themselves to us. That's not on us. You know, it doesn't make us bad fans to feel disillusioned. It doesn't make us bad fans to feel like they need to show us a little bit of love and regain our trust. That's how a relationship should be. The problem with being a sports fan is that most of the time, it's a one-sided relationship. It's the classic fever pitch quote towards the end of the movie when one of Jimmy Fallon's friends says, "You love the Red Sox, but have they ever loved you back?" You know, I used to think when I was young and naive that yes, the Red Sox do love us back. I can feel it. You know, when David Ortiz was on the team, I knew that he loved Red Sox fans. I know that a lot of the players love Red Sox fans. But I think that over the last couple years, has Red Sox ownership loved Red Sox fans? Has their front office loved Red Sox fans? Not really. You know what they've shown us that they love more? Money. getting under the luxury tax threshold. So yeah, that was just a funny interaction that I had on Twitter last night because I spend so much time getting criticized for being too critical of this team. I think that it's important that I can show love for this team, but also call them on their crap. I think that that's what an objective person in sports media should do. You know, otherwise, if I was only sunshine and rainbows about this team, people would call me out for not being objective about this team. So, you know, as usual, I can't win, but I thought it was really funny. And because this person isn't going to listen to this podcast, I can talk about it knowing full well that they will not be listening, because how dare I suggest that they learn something new that might disprove their claim. One last thing before I play this conversation with my pal Javi. I want to talk to you about Built Bar. You guys have heard this before, but I'm going to say it as many times as it takes to get you to buy in. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. They make protein bars that taste like candy bars, and I have no idea how they do it, but they do. These protein bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. They come in these 18 amazing flavors, including nut and nut-free flavors. They're soft and easy to chew, which is something I haven't found in a lot of other protein bars where I take a bite and I'm worried my teeth are going to break off and I'm going to have to call my dentist. But even though these bars taste like candy bars and they got that chocolate coating, they are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. So they're great for the keto diet. They're great for diabetics. They're great for the health conscious guy or gal. If you're looking to lose or maintain weight, but you are still like me, somebody who needs a sweet treat to kind of get you over that midday hump when you're struggling at 2 p.m. Try a Built Bar. These bars are good for you, but they also taste good, and it's hard to find things that actually live up to both of those claims. And for a limited time only, Built Bar has two special offers for you. For starters, they're giving away free coolers with purchase while supplies last, and they have upped their promo code to 20% off. So when you go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order. And that promo code works if you're a first-time buyer or a repeat customer, because Built Bar knows that once you try these protein bars, you're going to want more. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And now, part one of my conversation with Javi.
I feel like we're due. It's been too. I forgot the last time we recorded. Was it Mitch? I think it was Mitch.
I think the last time we recorded just the two of us was definitely Mitch.
Yeah.
So that was August or September 1st or whatever.
Right. And then I think in terms of just you, me, and John, I think that was Jackie. That was 42.
The content thing has been, it's been interesting. Every day it's like, welcome back to Lockdown Red Sox. We still don't have a manager. Check back with me tomorrow for like 4.5 weeks. But now we do have a manager. So anyway, all right.
Yeah,
so
I'm so excited to talk about that.
The dynamic duo, Gavin Javi, the most unlikely pairing in Major League Baseball, Red Sox and Padres. Well, I mean, maybe Red Sox and Yankees would be more unlikely, but I love our conversations. I'm so glad we're doing it again.
Me too, man. And it's been a crazy week, I think.
Yeah.
for a number of reasons that we won't get into that are worldly things, but also just low key, like a really crazy week in baseball. And in my podcast, I talked to Chris Castellani about AJ Hinch. I talked to Herb Lawrence about Tony La Russa. And now your team has a new manager too.
Well, a new old manager, but yeah. I mean, it's funny because you know, last week when the World Series ended, I remember seeing Jeff Passan tweet that the baseball offseason was not going to be, you know, super fast paced and like hot and, you know, exciting. Like he said, it's not going to be like the NBA offseason. Like this isn't going to be like dramatic and, you know, intense, and like free agency is not going to be like a wild ride and blah, blah, blah. Like, and then like immediately after the World Series ended, even just like with the Justin Turner thing happening, like the second the game was over, but like the first day of the off season, everything just started. I feel like he was trying to like, you know, keep our expectations low, but this week has been crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't even know where to start. Obviously we're going to talk about your boy and my boy too, actually, just because, you know,
I feel like we should go in order, like chronologically, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, in terms of the Turner thing, I mean, we did just get an update on that, right? So MLB like announced that there won't be like a suspension for Justin Turner, which is, what are the right words to use right now for this? I'm trying to think here. I mean, I would just kind of start off by saying, I think that there's something wrong with, you know, just being in this situation where I think Turner shouldn't have been allowed to be on the field in the first place. This is just, it was such an awkward moment, the way they literally have Justin Turner on the ticker test positive for COVID. And then he's just like smiling and he's just with his teammates. It's like, what's going on? Like, why is this happening? How is this allowed to happen? I think there's just a lack of leadership there. Obviously, like I said, they just announced that there's not going to be a suspension, which is crazy. I mean, you know, obviously we hate on the Astros,
Astros got suspended.
I don't know. It's just like the players, no matter what they do, I guess, it's just like, whatever, we don't care. It's just odd to me because this is a sport that loves to kind of like portray this facade of like honor and this code and people get suspended for, I guess, PEDs sometimes, occasionally, and those people are like evil villains. But then, you know, people who actually cheated in the game and then abusers. And then, of course, with Justin Turner, where it's like, yeah, you're literally hot for COVID-19. And then now, you know, you're not getting anything for it, which is great. I think it's a really good example to set for all the people watching that it's cool. And what annoys me most, not to get into too political about it, is that, yeah, these people are like super rich. You know, they can afford some of the things. They're taken care of a lot better than a lot of people in this country are right now. So it's even more selfish on that front.
Even just the fact that all of these players were able to get tests so frequently when, for a lot of the baseball season, millions of people around the country did not have access to COVID testing. So, you know, my first thought, I remember when all of the news came out that Major League Baseball was going to be doing tests every 48 hours for players was, okay, so if they've had the ability to do this for all of the months that they were negotiating these, you know, the deal with the Players Association, you know, haggling over money and number of games, et cetera, why weren't they giving their own fans access to COVID testing? It just seemed like such a indicator of like our country's priorities that MLB players, NFL, NBA, et cetera, were going to have access to testing as often as they needed it, which I'm not saying they shouldn't, but I'm saying everybody should have, especially because a lot of people who needed access to testing were people who were working in actual essential jobs. Mm-hmm. There were people who actually really needed it, like sports did not actually have to come back this year. That's like the biggest overarching fact of this whole situation is like, well, you brought back baseball. So it's on you how you handle it, Major League Baseball. Like it's on you, Rob Manfred, how all of this goes down ultimately. Because yeah, I get it. You're going to lose money. But guess what? Unlike the rest of the country, baseball team owners are the people who can actually afford to lose money because they're billionaires. Most people don't have like an extra $100 million stashed away. Most people are lucky if they have an extra $1,000 stashed away in this country. The analogy that comes to mind for me with the whole Justin Turner situation is Oprah screaming, you get some blame and you get some blame. Everybody gets some blame because yes, Justin Turner like wanted to be on the field. He wanted to go celebrate with his teammates. I would too if I had just won a World Series, but he shouldn't have been allowed to go back on that field. Like the fact that there was nothing in place to stop him from going on that field is a problem. And it reminds you that Major League Baseball spent like 4 months negotiating money and games and not enough time focusing on health and safety protocols. And we saw that literally the first week of MLB when a bunch of Marlins got sick and then a bunch of Cardinals got sick. You know, you're celebrating finally making it to the end of this season, which is something that we didn't actually, like, I remember you and I talking about this and being like, do we actually think they're going to make it through a whole season like this?
Yeah.
No, they finally do. And like the first thing that happens to remind us that this whole season was an absolute mess to begin with is the guy who tested positive for COVID during the game when they were supposed to be in a quote unquote postseason bubble is back on the field without a mask, sitting next to his cancer survivor manager, taking a photo and like kissing his wife. And you're just like, what the hell is going on here?
And it's like, look, you know, I've already kind of spoken about how I'm kind of over the whole, like, you're not like a real sports fan if you're this and that. It's like, nah, bro. Like, I also just have a really pretty balanced life, not to flex, but I freaking love the Padres. I love baseball and I would lose my mind not having sports. But then guess what? I have books to read. I have video games. I have the video games to play Gabrielle. I have the anime to watch. I have the shows to think. So sorry if like my entire existence isn't like predicated on whether or not we get baseball games when it comes to potentially saving some life. And it's just, I from the beginning, it's like, all right, like, theoretically, now this isn't true. I definitely think this is like a legit thing that people need to take seriously. Okay. If you overreact to COVID and whatnot, wouldn't you rather like be more safe than sorry when it comes to this? This isn't like betting on a blackjack casino table where it's like, oh, you want to go big or do you want to play small? No. This is like the stakes this time are like you. And also there's a little bit of unknown stuff about what COVID does aside from just people who have died. It's like, what kind of long-term effects does it have? This isn't something that we've experienced before. You know, this isn't like we haven't diagnosed this perfectly. And there's a lot of inaccuracies in terms of just what we think might happen when you get this. So I get annoyed at those type of people, but I also just, like you said, it's very, I think that the way to kind of put the bow around it, like I said, is just, it's such a bad example to set for people to just be like, we're not going to find anybody. We're not going to do this. And like you said, the postseason bubble, I thought that was supposed to be a thing. How is this happening? Like, he technically,
right,
I think it was
the only person who got COVID.
Exactly. And it's like, I don't care, man. Like, if I were the commissioner of baseball, if this thing was set up properly, it's like, hey, Justin Turner, you go back on that field, but you're not playing baseball next year at all if you do that. That would be my – I'm very kind of – I take like a draconian approach almost when it comes to certain things that go on in baseball. Like, I'm just like, yeah, sorry. Hey, you know, when Buster Posey got hit by whatever, Hunter Strickland. Hey, Hunter Strickland, you're gone for like 45 games. That's how you unwritten rules. It's not that hard. But, of course, there's so many things that prevent that from happening, whether it be MLBPA and blah, 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 right? But I think that it's just it was very unfortunate. And it's not surprising, and it kind of encapsulates baseball, is that, yeah, Justin Turner didn't get any type of suspension, and yeah, Dodgers were the World Series. Cool. Congratulations.
It's just, like, the things that you can get suspended for versus not suspended for, Justin Turner put hundreds of people's lives at risk.
Yeah.
I understand.
And there's some people in the Dodgers organization that tested positive recently, by the way. So we didn't even mention that. Like, there's like people that just tested positive. I think that was late last night. I believe I got the notification. We're recording this on a Sunday. I have no idea, honestly, about any news that happened this past Saturday, November 7th, because of other things that happened in the world. But I believe that it was announced that some people got COVID in the Dodgers organization, about 8 people, if I'm not mistaken.
The thing that's so frustrating to me is that there's like all these Dodgers players saying, even Mookie Betts, and this was so disappointing to me because it's Mookie and like he's such a great guy and he is so philanthropic. Like, he spent the 2018 World Series in Boston and like go around bringing trays of food to the homeless people in downtown Boston. Like, that's the kind of guy he has done so much for Tennessee during COVID. So it was very surprising to me to hear, like, Mookie said, forget all that, you know, he's our teammate. And I understand, yeah, like, the sentiment is like, we love this guy, like, we don't want to make him feel like a pariah. But it's like, I'm sorry, this isn't up to you. You're baseball players, not medical professionals. Like, I don't really give a crap if Dodgers players give Justin permission to be on the field, because like, who the hell are you to give him that permission? And it just shows you like the balance of authority and like the lack of protocol in place that was enforced of like, oh, well, his teammate said it was fine, so I guess it's fine. Like, I'm sorry, is Dr. Fauci on the Los Angeles Dodgers now? Did I miss when the World Health Organization started managing the Los Angeles Dodgers? Like,
oh, you didn't know? He was making some numbers in AAA, actually. They called him up recently. It was pretty nuts. That was a big story.
I mean, I would not bet against Fauci. I don't want to get too into this, but I just feel like, you know, not suspending Justin Turner only reminds people that we have such like a puppet joke as a commissioner in this league. What are you going to punish? Like, so you're not going to punish players for devising their own cheating scheme.
Yeah.
You're not going to punish a guy who tested positively. Also, why was he allowed to play that night if he had already received an inconclusive test? Like, he should have been out of there by the second inning. We didn't even talk about that. But like, where, like, you know, MLB has to be like, the buck stops somewhere, you know? And like, as of right now, it's like the buck stops a million miles that way, so we can take zero responsibility.
Yeah, and I think that's the perfect way to say it. Is like, is it? Did we know for sure that he had it heading into the game? No, but the fact that he might, and it's an inconclusive test, like you said. Let's just, all right, have him out of the game. Let's just not do that. And it's possible, based on what we know about baseball, that they just couldn't bear the idea of postponing the series potentially by a week if you waited for everything, and because we would have gotten that second test and it would have said, you know, Justin Turner has tested positive, so they would have had to wait, right? And I guess they just didn't want to do that. And that's just kind of where we unfortunately are, I think. And it's crazy to see that that's just, yeah, it just happened. And apparently they're just going to try and move on. And that's kind of how the thinking in a lot of ways in all sports really is right now. I mean, I don't know if, like I said, at the time of recording, it's a recording on Sunday. Last night, there was a big college football game between Notre Dame and Clemson. And then there was just like a, you know, shout out to kids. I love kids. I love kids. You know, I'm not one of those people who, even if it's only a minor upset, that I'm like, no, who cares, man? Let kids be kids. But this is one of the only times where, like, hey, actually, college football, how about you just not have like 30,000 people in the stadium? I don't know how many there actually was, but you get what I'm saying. And they're just storming the field. So it's like, yeah, it's just very, it's a very good microcosm, not even a microcosm. It's honestly bigger than that, of just where we are right now, especially in sports and people just being like, whatever, I'll push through. No, this isn't like, you know, when I'm watching One Piece and Luffy's getting his butt kicked and he has to push through and beat the bad guy. No, this is not like that. Sorry, guys. This is real life. We got to kind of, you know, address things. And then you can have the good stuff. I'm telling you, it's worth it. Trust me.
The whole thing, it's just so frustrating. I mean, like, we're having this week, we're seeing a lot of leadership changes across different areas of the sport and the country. And I would just like to request that while we're at it and replacing bad leaders, maybe we should get a new commissioner of baseball.
Maybe, yeah, well, you know? I mean, we'll see what happens. But unfortunately, as long as it's more of an ownership thing, and if the owners are cool with him, then unfortunately, that's probably what we're going to have, you know, happen.
You know that players don't like him, and you know that fans don't like him. Fans booed him at the World Series.
Yeah, that was nuts.
He let fans in. Like, this is like after a whole – think about it this way.
Oh, my God,
yeah. A whole season of no fans in the stands, right? You know? And then Manfred's like, all right, I'm going to let fans in the stands for the postseason here in Texas. So fans get into the ballpark because of Manfred and then boo Manfred. That shows you how – unpopular he is. He's the only reason that they're there. Like, they probably should not have been there in the first place, let's be honest, but
yeah,
he's the reason that they're there because, you know, money, and they're still booing him. Like, what does that tell you?
It says a lot about where baseball is at.
I hope you guys enjoyed part one of that conversation, and don't forget to tune in tomorrow for part two. And of course, make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. I'm here almost every day giving you the latest news on the Boston Red Sox, no matter if it's good or bad. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at GFSTARR1. You can follow Locked On Red Sox at LO_Red Sox. Check out girlatthegame.com and follow Girl at the Game, no underscores, all one lowercase word, on Instagram and Twitter. If you voted, thank you so much. Please wear a mask if you go anywhere. And as always, even in the off season, go Red Sox.